Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Welcome to another lesson from 2 Corinthians. We are so glad you joined us. Our title today is Diffusing the Aroma of Christ, and it is taken from 2 Corinthians 2. Here is Pastor J. Mark for today's teaching.
Essential oils are almost as old as human history itself. Those oils are compounds that are often derived or extracted from plants, and especially herbs, and then they're mixed with a carrier oil to make them usable. And today, essential oils are used in aromatherapy, or they're applied directly to a person's skin. Now, one way that people use essential oils today is in a diffuser. Diffusers spread tiny, microscopic droplets of the oil into the air where they can be inhaled. And studies have shown that inhaling the aromas from essential oils can stimulate areas of your limbic system. That's a part of your brain that affects emotions, behaviors, your sense of smell, and long-term memory. So the limbic system also plays a role in controlling your breathing, your heart rate, and your blood pressure. The scriptures talk about you and me as followers of Christ being diffusers of His fragrance or aroma. And that's what we want to explore in our study today, diffusing the aroma of Christ. Our text is 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 12 to 17. Furthermore, I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. This scripture text reveals to us the settings in which you and I are called to diffuse the aroma of Christ. The first setting in which we diffuse the aroma of Christ is in anxious expectation. You see, the Apostle Paul was committed to Jesus. He was willing to endure any hardship or struggle, even to the point of death. And he also cared deeply for the people that was in the church there at Corinth. But he was also human, and he became tired and annoyed and frustrated and discouraged, just like we do. And so as our text opens, we find him in a state of anxiety. He's in Troas, and he has an open door of ministry before him. And you would think he'd be overjoyed to walk through that door, but he wasn't. He did begin ministry in Troas, but he was so overcome by anxiety about what was happening back in Corinth that he left for Macedonia to search for Titus. Now, it's easy for us to think of Paul as some super spiritual, perhaps even superhuman person, but he wasn't. James says of the prophet Elijah that he was a man with a nature just like ours, and that was true for Paul. In this case, he allowed his anxiety to get the best of him, and we'll learn that his anxiety was really not necessary. When my wife Joyce was diagnosed with cancer, we were deeply concerned, but we also had confidence that God knew about this before we did, and we wanted Him to be glorified in our responses. We wanted the aroma of Christ to be diffused from our lives. And Joyce, especially, touched many people through this experience by her cheerful attitude and her trust in God. And she continues to do that as she praises God for her recovery and for her good health. So, how do you deal with pressures and concerns in your life? Do you allow your anxiety to distract you from the work at hand? Does it constrain the aroma of Christ? Or are you able to let that aroma spread, even when you're in anxious expectation? There's another setting, then, in which we diffuse the aroma of Christ, and it is in joyful celebration. Verse 14 shows the potential for dramatic change in our emotions. from anxiousness and restlessness of spirit and despair to exuberant joy and gratitude. What made the difference? Well, Paul received a good report from Titus about what was happening among the believers in Corinth, and that report transformed his whole outlook. In spite of all Paul's worry and stress, God's work was continuing in Corinth, and I believe that's the motivation for this outburst of praise. It sprang from Paul's deep-seated conviction that God's work in him and through him, regardless of the appearance of a setback, was proceeding triumphantly. Jesus is continuing to advance his work. He is building his church, and as he promised, the gates of hell are not prevailing against it. You and I need to remember that too. I like the way the English Standard Version translates verse 14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Now, Paul's readers would have immediately understood the word picture that he was painting for them. They were familiar with a Roman victory parade, where the victorious general, returning from war, entered the city in a special chariot, and he was preceded by the captives and spoils that he had taken in the war. He was often followed by his troops, shouting "Triumph!" as they proceeded along the sacred way to the capital. And then, as the procession made its way through the streets, the priests of Jupiter carried burning censers, and that left fragrant clouds of incense to float over the throng of spectators. Also, on occasions like this, the temples were thrown open, and garlands of flowers decorated every shrine, and incense smoked on every altar. The victor and his adoring followers were greeted with clouds of this fragrant perfume. So Paul describes himself and us as trophies of the Redeemer's conquest. But we haven't been conquered by force, we've been conquered by love. As God leads his prisoners of war in a victory parade, he spreads the knowledge of Christ everywhere through them. Now, in Roman processions, the prisoners were usually dejected and bitter. But for those conquered by Christ's love, we're not dejected, we're jubilant. So from Paul's lips comes this overflowing thanksgiving to God. You know, today it's through you and me, our character and our work, that God diffuses the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ everywhere. Wherever you and I go, people should experience the aroma of Christ. Are you courteous and friendly? Do you have a ready smile for those you meet? How do you respond to an irritating neighbor or maybe a disgruntled family member? How we respond should spread the fragrance of Jesus. Can you ignore rudeness or disrespect and still respond as Jesus would? These are the things that spread the aroma of Jesus to a world that so desperately needs him. But you know, not everyone will respond positively to the aroma of Christ. To some, we become an odor of death leading to death. And I understand this to mean from the death of Christ that the apostles preached in the gospel, to the eternal death of those who reject it. Others respond positively to the fragrance of Christ, and they receive life. Life leading to life means from the resurrection of Christ that is preached in the gospel to the eternal life of those who believe. Their life will be transformed, and the aroma of Christ will spread further. Is your life diffusing the aroma of Christ in a joyful celebration? Or are you more like the conquered Roman captives, dejected, hopeless, and forlorn? To be a genuine Christ follower requires full surrender, but he promised us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. There's one final setting, then, in which we diffuse the aroma of Christ, and it is in sincere proclamation. In verse 16, Paul asks, "Who is sufficient for these things?" None of us in ourselves are sufficient. But someone must proclaim the gospel, and God has called you and me, in spite of our imperfections, to take up the task. So in verse 17, Paul writes, "We are not like those who are peddlers of God's word." Now the imagery here, as I understand it, is of wine dealers who were notoriously corrupt in their business dealings. They added water to the wine to increase the amount they could sell, or they would take new wine and mix it with old wine and then sell it as old wine at a higher price. So Paul accuses the false teachers at Corinth of doing similar things with the gospel, diluting it or twisting it for the sake of popularity or maybe financial gain. And he reminds his readers that we, that is the apostles, were not like that. You know, today there is pressure to make the gospel more appealing to both believers and unbelievers, and to dilute the hard sayings of Jesus, to preach a gospel that requires nothing of those who profess to follow him, to change the aroma of Christ. Today, some promote the gospel as an escape from eternal punishment, but they require no corresponding life change, no denying oneself or taking up the cross and following Jesus. And then others preach a view of God as a benevolent grandfather handing out an unlimited supply of candy to his grandchildren without a thought for their long-term health or their well-being. I fear that many people who embrace these diluted forms of the gospel will only realize too late that they've embraced a false gospel that leads only to death. Paul was commissioned by God, he was responsible to God, and he was empowered by Christ. Now, you and I don't have the visibility or the position like the Apostle Paul did, but we do have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We have the responsibility to spread the aroma of Christ through the sincere proclamation of his truth. Are you diffusing the aroma of Christ to those around you? Are you allowing your anxieties to hinder the spread of that aroma? Are you diffusing the aroma of Christ in joyful celebration? Is your life spreading the fragrance of Christ throughout your sphere of influence? And finally, are you diffusing the aroma of Christ in your sincere proclamation of the gospel? Are you and I, like the Apostle Paul, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes? May God enable us by his grace to diffuse the aroma of the knowledge of him in every place.
Thanks, J. Mark, for these good lessons from 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You have given us good things to think about, and I like and appreciate how your teaching is so practical. Here are several points that stood out to me. We all know what it is like to be anxious. Not all of us have had cancer like J. Mark's wife, Joyce, but can we trust God through our experiences? Whatever it is that is causing you fear or anxiety, can we trust God? I hope that each of us have had joyful celebrations. When we experience good times, do we take Christ with us? He is not God just when life is difficult. He is with us always, and we must always lift him up. Then the third area was also very practical. When we teach and share Christ, we must share truthfully. No twisting the word or teaching Christ so we benefit. The Bible has harsh words for people who do this. If you would like a copy of today's teaching, just let us know. We will get it to you in any form you would like. Just contact us and ask for it by title. You can contact us via our website, heraldsofhope.org. On our website, you can find other similar teaching. So please look around while you're there. Another way to contact us is via email. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. You can also write to us. A pencil and paper don't take electric or data. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. We would love to hear from you. Thanks again for joining us. Lord willing, next week we will be together for another lesson from 2 Corinthians. I leave you with Paul's parting words from this book. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you.